unusual events in this week's Bible reading. Jesus started shining, his clothes got really bright, Moses and Elijah, two famous dead guys, appeared. And Peter didn't know exactly what to say. Peter, James, and John must have thought, actually the Bible even kind of says that, it must have thought, are we dreaming? And then maybe they looked at each other and said, how could we all be having the same dream? Just like happens in any movie when there's not a real dream, but it's a dream. The Bible, it says that, what was the reading there? Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep. That phrase, I mean, it's almost literal there. The Greek is burdened with sleep. And it's not burdened as if they were upset about something, but they were groggy, weighed down with sleep. So they questioned right away if that really happened. That's, you know, if you ever wake up and you see something and you're not sure it's there or anything like that, and if there are two of you and you both see something that's maybe not there, but and you both were groggy, but it's the same thing, you can probably think that, yeah, you probably saw that. So there was Peter, James, and John all saw it. So they didn't have the opportunity to say, well, we're weighed down with sleep, but I saw something that was too weird to be true. Three of them saw it. So that kind of lends some credence to they really experienced this. I wasn't there, so I don't know exactly what it looked like or anything like that. But they had the same dream? No, they experienced something. Peter didn't know what to make of it all. He didn't know what was going on, and he didn't know what he was supposed to do. So what did he offer? Yeah, let's set up the tents. Set up tents. And I alluded or even said in the children's sermon, it may have been hospitality, that he just thought that the three would need shelter. It may have been that Peter wanted each one of them to have their own prayer tents, because tent and tabernacle are the same thing, and a tabernacle is a place where you pray, and the tabernacle, until the temple was built, you know, Solomon built the temple, but they would be in tents. It's called the tent of meeting. So let's set up three tents so that you can pray, because you're all pretty important Bible people, so let's set up the tents. Or it could be that, you know, he didn't know what to do, but hardwired in him was hospitality, so he just did that. Because it wasn't bad what he said. Even though the Bible says he didn't know what he was saying, what he was doing, it wasn't a bad thing to say, let's set up three tents. And there are different reasons why it may have been. None of them were mean. All of them had hospitality as something in the background. And oh, that we, whether we are confused or completely understanding or anywhere in between, offer hospitality because it's hardwired in us. It's not always that way. We have to think about it. But this, for Peter, was just by rote. It's what you did. And oh, that when we are confused, completely understanding, or anywhere in between, and then offer hospitality because it is hardwired in us, may we be able to hear what Peter, James, and John heard. They heard the voice of God say, this is my son, my chosen, listen to him. And I don't necessarily mean hearing a voice come out like that, but it was this, Peter did something, it was a good thing to do, regardless of where the reason was, because it was hardwired in him to be hospitable, and God responds with something good. This is my son, listen to him. He wasn't scolding. It's like, hey, you did a good thing, and no, I'm going to talk to you. That would be so cool if every time we offered hospitality, we heard a voice. And God said, this is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. And wouldn't you like that? No? You wouldn't like that? Would it freak you out too much, like the thing at the campfire and the scary story? No? Or you're like, yeah, just keep talking. Yes. Peter, James, and John heard that right after Peter responded with hospitality. But, you know, there's more to be said with this whole shining stuff that's in there. I've talked about it before, and every year, just the week before Ash Wednesday, it's Transfiguration Sunday, so there's always a shining Jesus' face story that happens here. How many of you remember? This is the fourth time that I've preached about Transfiguration here. Can you remember any of the others? No. Okay, good. So I can say anything I want. That Jesus was shining on the mountain communicates at least in the text and to the people of the time, that Jesus is a divine presence in the world. And that Moses and Elijah appeared with him communicates that Jesus isn't like this some unheard of thing. He may be new, but he's not this completely separate from the traditions. He is part of God's story. He's the fulfillment of what has come before him. These two are passing the mantle, so to speak. You know, Moses and Elijah, two biggies. To some, this description, though, that Jesus glowed and that makes him divine, Moses and Elijah were there, that makes him part of the story, it's really, really important, because they say, look at the biblical record, and therefore we can say that Jesus is the Son of God because this happened here. It proves who Jesus is and gives them words or even events to prove that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ. And they look to this story. And you can do that. But to others, this Bible time description is meant more, it meant more to those who witnessed it and heard about it, even though the Bible passage at the end says they kept silent and didn't tell anyone about it in those days. They did tell some people about it, because we wouldn't know the story if it didn't get told. We've learned the rest of the story. Right then, they hadn't learned the rest of the story, so it's really important there. But they, you know, we look at it, and now that we see the rest of the story, it's not nearly as important that we see that, because we know, okay, yeah, Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. It doesn't change our experience hearing this story. It's possible that if the transfiguration wasn't part of the whole biblical record, that we wouldn't miss it. And I know that if it wasn't there, you wouldn't know it was there. But if we took it out, let's just say that it wasn't there at all, and we knew that it had been there, it doesn't change the story of what Jesus came to do, what Jesus did. It just changes this one event where he glowed and it was mysterious and they didn't quite understand it and Moses and Elijah were there. But we know Jesus is part of the story. So that part of being communicated is there. We know that Jesus is the Son of God. So that part of being communicated, if it was pulled out, wouldn't change the story. But we can learn from this event. It is in the Bible. It's important. Anything in the Bible is important because it can help us to learn. The first bit we can learn is what I already talked about. And hold on to this. Oh, that we would all, whether we are confused, completely understanding, or anywhere in between, offer hospitality, because it is hardwired in us. And oh, that when we are confused, completely understanding, or anywhere in between, and then offer hospitality, because it is hardwired in us, would we be able to hear, this is my son, my chosen, listen to him. But then there's a next bit that we can learn. It actually comes just after this morning's Bible reading. So you learn from it, but we didn't read it. Because what happened just after, when they didn't say anything, they'd experienced this, the next sentence is, then they came down from the mountain, or something almost exactly like that. Brian, you've got it open. What does it say exactly? At verse 37, what's the first few words? When they had come down from the mountain. That's it, right there. On the next day when they had come down from the mountain. So they came down from the mountain. And Jesus healed folks. Jesus taught. Jesus reminded the disciples just a few verses later that they weren't there to punish people or to establish a territory or this political kingdom that no one would dare enter, but rather to love people and to bring them restoration. That's what he did. There's James and John got angry when some people wouldn't listen to him, and he said, do you want us to bring down fire on them? You know, and Jesus is like, no, it's all right. Actually, he just went on with the next thing. He probably rolled his eyes, which is kind of a good thing to do. The eye roll is a pretty effective thing. Usually women are better at the eye roll than men. But Jesus could have done the eye roll there. But usually, you know, on Valentine's Day, when the husband does something that isn't, you know, tells a stupid joke. Guys, raise your hand. You tell stupid jokes? significant others who are with a guy raise their hand because they tell stupid jokes, right? And how many women here have perfected the eye roll? Yeah, you've got the eye roll. The eye droop? Oh, no, but that's, see, the eye droop is sort of a mean one, but the eye roll is like this. It's sort of like, what a silly joke, right? Jesus probably had the eye roll when Thomas and, what did I say, James and John said, "Do you want us to bring fire down on this city that, you know, was mean to you?" And she's like, "Oh, don't you get it?" And then he went on there. Jesus taught. Jesus healed folks. Jesus reminded the disciples that they were there not to establish a territory or to punish people, but to love people and to bring them restoration. When Peter, James, and John were up on the mountain, they had a time where they were close. They felt close to God. I mean, they heard God speak. They saw Jesus shining. It was a mountaintop experience for them. And we all have mountaintop experiences, but inevitably we come down from the mountain. We have times where we feel closest to God. We have experiences that we don't fully understand sometimes. We can't grasp it. We remember the strong mountaintop experiences pretty well, I think, too, because they stick in our minds. Remember that time when, or I remember when this or that was really real to me, or just a really cool experience. But when we come down from the mountain, Jesus calls us to be a people who love and who offer and receive restoration. It's what Jesus did. Now, we can't be the people who say a prayer and somebody's healed because we're the ones who are in charge. Because it doesn't work that way. God does the healing. God does the restoration. God even does the teaching. But we have ways to offer the hospitality, to do things by rote that say that you are important and you are important. We can communicate God's love. We can communicate God's restoration to anybody. And we can do the opposite, too. And it's all too often that we do that part when our rote is communicating rejection or the rote is communicating disdain and anger. And I'm guilty of it too. I communicate disdain and anger sometimes. I don't think that the eye roll is disdain and anger though, by the way. I think the eye roll is just kind of fun, but maybe others. It depends on when you do it. Like if something happened in church here and somebody made a small mistake, like me, okay, and then Debbie looked at me and went, well, that would be anger, you know, because what an idiot kind of a thing. Or if I did the same thing. But, you know, the silly eye roll, it's okay. So I'm not going to call that one there. And sometimes we make mistakes like that. If we communicate it wrong, I don't want to say it makes God's job harder, but I guess that's the best way to describe it. God can communicate love. God can offer restoration. God gets to do all of that. But when we stand up and we say, we follow Jesus, and then we do something to the negative of that, it makes that person's experience of God a little bit less, and God have to communicate the love through someone else or in another way. Much rather be part of communicating God's love than be the one that got in the way and God had to turn another corner to get it done. I think I've said before that I'd much rather have people learn about God through me than in spite of me. All right, let me run these things from this morning's Bible reading just one more time. In the shortest possible form, something that you could take with you, something that you could write down on your refrigerator or whatever it is. One more time. Here we go. Be a people of hospitality by rote. Love. Restore. Because we all seek, I hope, we all seek to follow Jesus so we can listen to him. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for giving us challenges. Thank you for giving us opportunities to be a people of love and restoration. Help us to spend our days offering that love and restoration and listening to you. Amen.